In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is the shortest day of the year. According to my weather app, anyway, 9 hours and 30 minutes or so of daylight today in these parts, which is less daylight than any other time of the year. With only a sliver of a waning crescent moon and some cloud cover, even the dark is darker than usual. That's today. Also today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, which means Christmas is just about here, a couple days away. You probably know about the debate of whether or not Christmas really came this time of year, whether Jesus was born in the winter, or whether it was a different time of year and this date was chosen for other reasons. I really don't have an opinion on that debate, but I am glad that Christmas comes in the middle of the darkest darkness. It fits the story better than in the dark streets. The darker the better, shines the everlasting light. We've got Matthew's version of that story today. In fact, we've got all that Matthew has to say about Christmas in just the 8 verses of our gospel reading that started, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way." And in this way includes some darkness. It's especially full, I think, of the kind of a darkness of scandal. Darkness as in, we just as soon keep this stuff in the dark, under the cover of darkness, unmentioned. You know the plot. Joseph's betrothed is found to be with child. What an understatement. Think of the angst, the scandal squeezed in to those words, found to be with child. Imagine some high school girl nervously explaining to her boyfriend the pregnancy test she bought at a CVS 3 towns away to make sure no one would see her buying it. You see, Joe, one line means pregnant and 2 lines, or one line means not pregnant and 2 means pregnant, and there's 2, and that's because the Holy Spirit visited me. Dear God, mumbles Joe, how are we ever going to keep this one in the dark? Joseph's a good guy, and he's not going to let Mary get hurt, and especially after the angel's visit and the bit about Emmanuel, he does the right thing. But there is no doubt for the rest of their lives, the whiff of scandal would hover over their family. Yeah, right, Mary. Holy Spirit, is that what you were calling it back then? Sure. Surrounded by the dark shadow of shame, murmurs, and chuckles all their days. Just as soon would have kept all that stuff in the dark because people, well, talk. That bit about Emmanuel from the angel. You've heard that too, heard about that too. That comes from a dark time as well. Longer story short, the angel is quoting the prophet Isaiah. From some 700 years before Mary made her frantic trip to CVS. At that time, the angel was preaching to a truly horrible king of Judah named Ahaz, who was being threatened at that time by a couple equally horrible kings, one from Samaria, the other from Syria. And so Ahaz is seriously considering teaming up with one of the horriblest kings of all time, a guy named Tiglath-Pileser III of Assyria. A little history there for you. He was horrible. A lot of people think that phrase that shows up in the Bible, "make your enemies your footstool," came from Tiglath-Pileser III, who was known to use the heads of his general to prop his feet, or the heads of conquered generals to prop up his feet upon. So Isaiah says to him, just team up with the Lord instead of with any of those other guys. Team up with the Lord, trust the Lord, and all will be fine. But Ahaz says, no thanks. I don't know if he's too proud or he's already made up his mind, but he's going to go his own way. Isaiah says, ask for a sign, any sign. Oh, no, no, no. Well, I'll give you a sign anyway. I think it was something like this. He looks over in not too far in the distance, and he says, by the time that virgin over there, that unmarried virgin over there gets married, has a kid, And she's going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us because God is with you, Ahaz. Syria and Samaria will be wiped off the map. Well, like I said, Ahaz is not one for listening. He makes a historically stupid decision. He ignores Isaiah and the sign, teams up with Tiglath, who eventually turns on him, decimates the country, and presumably adds to his grisly footstool collection. Very dark time. The kind of thing you just as soon stay in the dark. And the very thing, the very prophecy, the angel points Joseph to when Joseph is in a very dark time. Joseph, in a way old Ahaz could never have dreamed, a virgin, your Mary, will have a son, and she'll stay a virgin without the help of any man, this son. And he, in a way that not even the angels could have dreamed, will be God with us, will be God in the flesh, will be God with you, Joseph. In the middle of all this smelly scandal and shadowy shame and darkness, God's going to show up, Joseph, and he's going to scatter the darkness and disperse the gloom. Which means he's going to show up in the middle of our lives with its stories. Oh, I know they're not likely the stories that were shared freely at the Christmas party this year, but if we were so inclined, I bet between us we could come up with a healthy sum of frantic run to the CVS type tales. The ones we'd just as soon stay in the dark. All the stories only you or maybe a couple people who live with you or are close to you know, the ones we don't tell because you're embarrassed and I'm ashamed. In our own personal histories, we have all made some historically bad decisions that we prefer to keep in the dark because, well, people talk. And if they get out there, they might not talk to you. Of course, a lot of that going on these days. Not talking. The news feeds and blogs that I read sometimes, I've seen a lot about the so-called cancel culture. You heard of cancel culture, this new moniker for a not new phenomenon? In fact, one English language dictionary, it's from Australia, but it counts, is named cancel culture as its word of the year for 2019. Have you heard of this? And the things I've read, it's usually attached to teens and celebrities, but the phenomenon's universal. The basic idea of cancel culture is some poor sap says or does or posts or tweets something off color or racist or sexist or somehow not woke, sometimes actually really horrible stuff. And as a result, they get canceled, which means they are done. They are written off. They are beyond redemption, lights out, and beyond sympathy too, mind you. Because if you are someone who is foolish enough to try to make excuses or even express some understanding or sympathy for the canceled, well, you get canceled along with them. For cancel culture says you must hate, at least shun, the canceled, and extend them no grace. Leave them in the dark. If you Google canceled culture or canceled celebrities, you probably get names like Harvey Weinstein, R. Kelly, Johnny Depp, Mel Gibson, Pauly Dean, and a bunch of other folks, many of who did horrible, hateful, hurtful things, often when drunk or high or into a hot mic they thought was off. Things. Stuff. And here's the kicker. Let us not fool ourselves. Stuff not so dissimilar to the garbage that's flowed from our mouths, the jokes we've laughed at, the shameful places we've been, the historically bad decisions we have all made, all the stuff that if, when it got out, gets out, would very likely get you and me canceled in a lot of different circles. Maybe in every circle. Except Jesus' circle. Nothing too dark or scandalous or weird or shameful or closeted for him. And it's all right there from the beginning in that story Matthew tells. Jesus could have come to this earth in a zillion different ways, but God chose to plop him down on our planet surrounded by the whiff of scandal and the whispers of shame. With a prophecy redolent of historic stupidity, he will be Emmanuel, which means God with us, God with us. God with the scandalous and weird and shameful and historically stupid, the least, the lame, the lost, and the lonely, God with the canceled. And you shall call his name Jesus, the angel tells Joseph, which means the Lord saves. For he will save his people from their sins. Which you might think that was a little weird that the angel which spoke to Joseph and the angel which spoke to Isaiah 700 years before should have had a little confab. Because one angel said it'll be called Emmanuel, the other says it'll be called Jesus. One says it'll be called God with us, the other says he'll be called the Lord saves. But that's only weird until you realize that God with you means God saving you from your sins. And notice he didn't just say God cleansing you or forgiving your sins, although that's in there too. He says he will save you from your sins. When I hear that, I hear save you from in the same way I would hear, and he will save you from a chasing lion. Your sins won't chase you anymore. The shames and scandals and hurts don't need to haunt you anymore. That phrase, the past is going to catch up with me and it's going to devour me and tear me to pieces and get me canceled. He saves you from all that. He slays the lions. All the baggage and worries and burdens, all the work to conceal, all the tea that just might get you canceled, should it come out, he saves you from all that. Saves you the worry. For Joseph, the little one in your Mary's belly, he's born for them to love them. To love Harvey Weinstein and R. Kelly and Johnny Depp and Mel Gibson and Paula Deen and you and me and all the canceled and potentially canceled, which is all of us. Joseph, the little guy, is born to cancel canceling. To gather up all our smelly garbage and darkness, drag it to the cross and leave it there. Oh, and yes, people, because it's still dark, because it's still so very dark, people will still talk. Just like they talked about Mary and Joseph, just like they surely talked about Ahaz in his day, just like you might talk to yourself. But God talks too. In Jesus, he says, graced, forgiveness, mercied. Renewed, uncanceled, died for, purchased, saved, beloved, with you, mine, forever mine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.